Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at KaiserCummings.com.
Clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 70s. It's 63 degrees in Lawrence. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We have many frequencies all around the state, and you can always hear us online at kansaspublicradio.org. If none of that appeals to you, we also have an app. One for iOS, one for Android, wherever you get apps.
Do you love public radio but hate the thought of selling your old car, truck, or motorcycle? Donate that vehicle to KPR. It'll be picked up and proceeds from its sale will fund our programs. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org.
Coming up on Kansas Public Radio, we will learn more about cuts to the National Science Foundation and how a particularly promising AI project appears to have been cut. We'll look into why. It's all connected to weather research. Kind of interesting. We will learn why New York City is preparing to get rid of its horse-drawn carriages in all likelihood. And we will talk about chronic pain, how cannabis could help people with chronic back pain, those stories and more, and of course, news headlines all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Classical music coming up tonight, following All Things Considered on your KPR One stations. Destiny has a little comedy for you. Not just her jokes. We'll be playing some music that's comedic. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around for Reveal at 7 o'clock. It's 6:20.
Support for NPR in the U.S. Health officials are investigating three cases reported in Southern California. It's the first time the more severe form of the disease has spread within the United States. One expert says you should be paying attention.
It's not just a heads up for Southern California. It's a heads up nationally.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m., the latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting the Rocky Horror Picture Show, showing October 23rd through October 25th. Details at theaterlawrence.com.
News headlines coming up next. 62 degrees in Lawrence at 6:30.
That machine still can't replicate. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
On Wall Street, stocks finished mixed to end the day. Shares of 3M and Coca-Cola were actually up. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Welfare advocates are now warning over 185,000 Kansans using federal food assistance that they could soon lose their benefits. Federal officials say if the government shutdown continues, November food stamp funding will be put on hold. Haley Kotler is with Kansas Appleseed. She says many families will need to stretch their October budgets in order to prepare.
They may be dipping into their rent or to their car payment or other bills. And then when December comes around, those bills are still going to be due.
Kotler says a new work requirement for food assistance also goes into effect on November 1st. That will affect about 8,000 Kansans. The Women, Infants, and Children Food Assistance Program, known as WIC, is temporarily ending shipments of infant formula in Kansas due to the federal government shutdown. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment announced yesterday that recipients will not be receiving formula to pick up at WIC clinics. KSNT reports recipients can still get formula through an authorized WIC vendor or at participating pharmacies. The health department has said funding for the WIC program could run out entirely next month, again, if that federal shutdown continues. A new program in Kansas is helping people become teachers and helping schools fill employment vacancies. The statewide teacher apprenticeship program pairs experienced teachers with people pursuing their teaching degrees, and the state picks up some of the college cost for the students. The program launched 3 years ago with a dozen apprentices in six districts. This fall, there are more than 160 apprentices in 74 districts. Kansas Education Commissioner Randy Watson says the program is a win-win for the state and for students wanting a career in education.
Someone can go to school, stay at home, and not have any debt. And the numbers here have expanded greatly in the last year.
Kansas is still facing a teacher shortage in rural parts of the state. The apprenticeship program is a partnership between the Kansas Education and Commerce Departments. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR. It's a fun concert of Halloween tunes, and I really hope to see you there. Go to kansaspublicradio.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Information at airefugeeslawrence.org.
Stay tuned. We still have another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. We'll get you an update of news headlines on your KPR1 stations at 7:01, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next is Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir October 25th, sharing music across the globe for six centuries. Details at jccc.edu/mtc.
Clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 70s. It's 10 minutes before 7. This is KPR.
The Poem website. Or, if you prefer, you can still pick up that phone and dial 917-994-8949.
You're listening to All Things Considered.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive. Progressive Commercial Auto Insurance protects the vehicles that work to keep small businesses moving forward, including protection while running errands and other tasks, at progressivecommercial.com. From the University of Maryland Libraries, dedicated to making UMD's research available to everyone and advancing open access for the public good. More at lib.umd.edu. And from Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This is NPR.
Health officials in Southern California are investigating the spread of a new strain of Mpox. How did the virus get here? On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Get caught up on the very latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, since 1982 installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes or businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Stay tuned. We have classical music coming up after we get a recap of the day's headlines and a quick peek at the celestial news with Stardate. Destiny is your host. She has some comic light music for you tonight and, of course, plenty of jokes. That is all coming right up here on KPR. Later tonight, you'll be able to hear jazz in the night. Clear skies overnight with a low in the upper 30s tomorrow. Sunshine with a high in the lower 70s. It's 7:01 and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. There are no signs of the government shutdown ending 3 weeks in. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, there are no negotiations underway.
Democrats are withholding their votes on a short-term spending bill, asking Republicans to extend tax breaks that help make health insurance more affordable. President Trump didn't budge when asked about negotiating with Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries.
I would like to meet with both of them, but I set one little caveat. I will only meet if they let the country open. They have to let the country open. The people want to go back to work. They want to be served. They want to... They need the services of some people, and a lot of people need the money, the payroll.
For many federal workers, the first full missed paycheck will come this week. Tamara Keith, NPR News, the White House.
One of the largest meetings of infectious disease experts is being held in Atlanta this week, and many Centers for Disease Control and Prevention experts aren't there due to the federal shutdown. From member station WABE, Alex Helmick reports.
The conference, called ID Week, discusses how to treat, prevent, and diagnose infectious diseases. Officials say the conference chose Atlanta in part because the CDC is based here. But federal scientists at the CDC aren't being paid during the shutdown, and conference fees would not be covered by the government. And their absence has been notable. It comes at a time when measles and whooping cough infections are increasing in the country. The CDC has lost thousands of employees under the Trump administration through layoffs and resignations. For NPR News, I'm Alex Helmick in Atlanta.
ChatGPT's parent company, OpenAI, has launched an AI-enabled web browser. As NPR's John Ruich reports, this opens a new front in its competition with Google.
The new browser is called Atlas, and the company says it's built with the chatbot ChatGPT at its core. Part of what it'll be able to do is remember past searches and context from those searches. The company says that'll make it easier to, say, pull up previous results and work with them. It'll also be able to summarize and analyze content from websites. OpenAI launched the browser on Mac OS and says it'll be available on Windows, iOS, and Android soon. The move takes the competition between so-called AI answer engines and traditional search to new levels. Traditional search is dominated by Google and its Chrome browser, which is the world's most popular way to access the Internet. But ChatGPT has leapt in popularity as an information retrieval tool. Google's share price fell after the announcement. John Ruich, NPR News.
President Trump's pick to lead a whistleblower protection office has withdrawn his candidacy after revelations that he sent racist text messages. On X, Paul Ingracia said he didn't have enough Republican support to confirm him to head the Office of Special Counsel. A Politico report showed him describing himself in text as sometimes having a Nazi streak. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the NPR Wine Club, now shipping to additional states. Whether purchasing a few wines or enjoying the wine club, every purchase supports NPR. Available to adults 21 or older, nprwineclub.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 21st. A star in the constellation Cetus brightens and fades dramatically every 11 months. At its brightest, it's fairly easy to see. At its faintest, it's visible only through a telescope. Because of that change, a 17th century astronomer called the star Mira, from the Latin word for wonderful. The star changes because it pulses in and out like a beating heart. Mira's in the final stages of its red giant phase of life. Its core is no longer producing nuclear reactions. Instead, it's fusing hydrogen and helium in thin shells around the core. Mira's outer layers are puffed up by radiation from the shells. At the maximum, that inflates the star to about 400 times the diameter of the Sun. That's also when its surface is coolest and faintest. As the outer layers cool, they fall inward, making the surface hotter and brighter. At minimum, the star is about 330 times the Sun's diameter. Each time it puffs up, Mira loses a little of the gas at its surface. Within the next million years or so, it's likely to expel all the gas in its outer layers. That will leave only its hot but dead core, a white dwarf. Astronomers have discovered thousands of stars like Mira, and many others will undergo the same phase, including the Sun, in about 6 billion years. Mira climbs into view in the east by 8:30 or 9, but it's in the fading part of its cycle, so you need a telescope to see it. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
about a little comedy for your Tuesday evening? Here on Kansas Public Radio, The Comedy Overture with Ernest Tomlinson, also known as Alan Perry, conducting the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra. Hi there. I'm Destiny. Hope you are all doing well. Monday's over. Well, yesterday we played some blue music because I was sad. Now I'm happy. So that's why I opened with this comedy overture, because I am just so full of jokes. Oh, there was a hint. And also, dramatic storms and things like that. Emotions are like that. So we've got a little something by Beethoven coming up at the bottom of the hour because, well, that needs no explanation. And last but not least, will I see you Friday? Live day, concerts all day, and I am closing out the evening. KPR's annual Live Day features performances by area artists, including yours truly. Also, Tria Lawrence, K-State, string teachers, and concert and more. It will be in the KPR Performance Studio and the Public Library. We will be broadcasting all day. Wow. Starting at 9 a.m. on KPR One stations. Made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. And you've got to take care of that smile, because this is going to make you laugh. It's Haydn's The Joke String Quartet. Listen for this ending. It's funny with the Kodaii Quartet here on KPR. wah, wah, wah. Haydn's The Joke String Quartet here on KPR, performed by the Kodaly Quartet. I love playing that on the radio and the violin. I just love Haydn string quartets. Mm. Haydn was Beethoven's teacher, and I've got something dramatique coming up by Beethoven, and also a sweet little closer for you. I'd like to thank some of our sweet supporters first, though. They keep us on the air. Thank you. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information is at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. And also Audio Reader, hosting Sound Waves, an evening celebrating all things audio, Thursday, November 6th, featuring speakers from the industry, curated audio equipment, food, and drink. More information at reader.ku.edu/audio-sell. Well, something titled The Tempest will definitely be dramatic. This is Piano Sonata number 17, an often requested one of your favorites, dearest of listeners. Beethoven in his finest, and we've got John O'Connor on the piano right now on Kansas Public Radio. You know, it's funny how calm that starts out, and then it's called The Tempest, and then it's not. Here on KPR, Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 17. Woo! John O'Connor on the piano. Gosh, I love Beethoven. If you're a regular listener, I say that all the time. I know, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. I do actually like all music, tell you the truth. It's hard to find something I don't like. I hope you like this. It's Kreisler's Love's Sorrow. Indeed, and it's a fun little recording here with Gidon Kremer and Marta Argerich. Oh, it's pretty intense. I've played it before, and it's beautiful. I think you'll like it. Let's listen on Kansas Public Radio.
yes, indeed. Did you hear the giggling in that here on KPR? I imagine because Gidon Kremer is quite the character when he plays. That was the violinist of Kreisler's Love, Sorrow, and Marta Argerich on piano. I tell you what, that is a crowd pleaser indeed. I think there are a few recordings of that on YouTube of me playing it in the KPR live studio. I have to go check that. All right, well, there's one more hour of classical music coming up. Let's see, what do I have? Ooh, Rossini. I am opening with a Rossini overture. It's a good one. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on KPR.
Hey, it's Layla Faldin. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know, so.
Or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on Kansas Public Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. This is KPR from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. on the app, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. And support for news on Kansas Public Radio comes from the KU Theater, presenting the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, a musical by William Finn, October 24th through November 2nd at Murphy Hall. Tickets at kutheater.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is asking the Department of Justice to pay him roughly $230 million for past federal investigations into him. That's according to reporting from the New York Times. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, Trump has not explicitly confirmed the complaints.
NPR has not independently confirmed the report, but when asked about it by reporters, Trump stopped short of affirming it. But he did say the Justice Department, quote, probably owes me a lot of money, and that he'd give any potential payment to charity or use it to keep restoring the White House. He also acknowledged the unusual nature of any potential payment from the DOJ.
That decision would have to go across my desk, and it's awfully strange to make a decision where I'm paying myself. In other words, did you ever have one of those cases where you have to decide how much you're paying yourself in damages? But I was damaged very greatly.
The report comes as critics of the White House have voiced concerns that Trump is using the agency for his own political and personal agenda. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Vice President J.D. Vance says the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas has been going better than anticipated, but the truce is already proving shaky after deadly violence erupted over the weekend, and Gaza still doesn't have a government. As NPR's Greg Myrie explains, peace is rarely easy in the Middle East.
The ceasefire is certainly significant, and most everyone here is giving Trump credit. But you can see parallels to President George W. Bush and the Iraq War back in 2003. Just 6 weeks into that war, with the U.S. in control of Iraq, Bush went aboard a U.S. aircraft carrier and essentially declared the war over in front of this huge banner that read, Mission Accomplished. Then an insurgency erupted, and the U.S. fought for many years and was still fighting in Iraq during Trump's first term. That should be a cautionary tale for the Middle East. Yet at the ceasefire signing ceremony last week in Egypt, Trump stood in front of a huge banner that read, Peace in the Middle East.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. The Department of Interior plans to fire more than 2,000 employees. That includes more than 300 workers at the U.S. Geological Survey. From member station KBIA, Harshan Ratanpal reports the cuts would upend environmental research.
Almost all of the employees at the Columbia Environmental Research Center would be cut if the government's plan goes through. Scientists at the center help to repopulate endangered species and study how chemicals and invasive species impact ecosystems. Their research is used by decision makers in other parts of the government and the private sector. Don Tillett is a scientist who worked there for 30 years. He's been in contact with current employees.
Most people that I know are numb because of the constant barrage of abusive type of behavior from this administration.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Department of Interior from enacting its plan. For NPR News, I'm Harshan Ratanpal in Columbia, Missouri.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science education and the arts towards a fair, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Rossini's Armida Overture here on KPR. It's been a while since I played that one. Sir Neville Mariner with Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Hi there, I'm Destiny. This is the 8 p.m. hour of Evening Classical. You know, Armida makes me think of a boat, not the opera about a woman. So I thought, maybe I should program something about boats. And, of course, I found something rather intriguing for you that I will play at the bottom of this hour. So you're in for quite the treat. And trick or treat, don't forget this Friday. It's a free evening concert. Well, actually, the whole day is live day on KPR, starting at 9 a.m., broadcasting from the live performance studio and the library. But yours truly, me, moi, right here, I am playing the violin. 7 p.m., Lawrence Public Library. It's Friday. On KPR, made possible by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. You can see the entire live day schedule at kansaspublicradio.org, and I would love to meet you. And I hope you love this Franz Liszt that we are about to listen to. It's his Piano Concerto No. 1 with Charles Dutoit conducting the Montreal Symphony. Guess who the pianist is? Jean-Yves Thibaudet. Here we go on KPR.
Thank you.
Jean-Yves Thibaudet here on KPR on the piano, playing Franz Liszt's Piano Concerto No. 1, the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, and Charles Dutoit conducting. Dramatique, indeed. I've got a ship's suite coming up that should be interesting here on Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City. I think you'll like it. I like our supporters. Support for classical music on KPR comes from, of course it does, the University of Kansas, serving Kansans and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Info about KU's research is at ku.edu. And the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir October 25th. Sharing music across the globe for six centuries. Details at jccc.edu/mtc. All right. Have you ever heard The Tall Ship's Suite by Dave Roylance and Bob Galvin? I haven't, so this is going to be a new listen for me as well. Let's see what it sounds like. It's with William Connor conducting the Royal Liverpool Phil on KPR.
I dig it. The tall ship's suite here on KPR. Bob Galvin, Dave Roylance. Huh. Yeah. What did you think? You can let me know. Go to my website, destinyviolin.com, or go to Classics by Request on our KPR page, and there's a little form you can fill out and let me know what you'd like to hear, if you hated that. But hopefully you didn't. Oh, I'm Destiny. Thanks so much for being here with me this evening. I am off for the rest of the evening, and I'll be back tomorrow night. And don't forget to come meet me Friday night in person at the Lawrence Public Library. Just make sure you RSVP at kansaspublicradio.org. We fill up quickly. All right. See you soon on KPR.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering customized photography sessions and packages to create artwork that captures light and emotion. Now in downtown Lawrence. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com. And the Lead Center, presenting Matthew Morrison, known for his role on the TV series Glee, performing his Rhythms and Revelations concert tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump's nominee to head a whistleblower protection office has announced that he will withdraw from consideration. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, the decision by Paul Ingracia follows reporting by Politico that he sent racist texts.
President Trump nominated Ingracia to lead the watchdog agency, which handles whistleblower complaints and investigations into federal employees. His confirmation hearing had been set for Thursday, but on Tuesday night, he released a statement that he didn't have enough Republican support in the Senate to move forward. The announcement follows a Politico story revealing that Ingracia appears to have made racist comments in a text chat, disparaging Black Americans and other minority groups. NPR has not independently confirmed Politico's reporting, but a lawyer for Ingracia told the outlet the messages could have been manipulated. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Plans are on hold for President Trump to sit down with Russia's Vladimir Putin to discuss ending the Ukraine war. Trump floated the idea last week. The decision was made following a call between Secretary of State Marco Rubio and his Russian counterpart. North Carolina's Republican-controlled legislature has formally begun redrawing the state's congressional map. It's an effort to help the GOP gain another U.S. House seat. North Carolina is the latest Republican-led state to take up President Trump's request to redistrict. He wants the GOP to keep control of Congress after next year's midterm elections, as North Carolina Newsroom's Adam Wagner explains.
They've been pretty clear. This is to help the GOP hold the House and to boost the Trump administration agenda. Here's Senate Republican leader Phil Berger answering questions on the Senate floor yesterday.
The redrawing of District 1 was done based on political calculation and a determination that that district could be redrawn for a Republican to have a better chance of winning. That's the only reason it was done.
There's some thought that insisting that this gerrymandering is being done for partisan reasons is an attempt to get ahead of lawsuits that everybody's expecting. Both state and federal courts have said that they can't overturn maps because they offer one party or the other an unfair advantage.
Adam Wagner from the North Carolina Newsroom. Federal funding for a project that uses artificial intelligence to solve weather-related problems was terminated recently. The recipients say they were not given an explanation, as NPR's Acadia Riddle reports.
The project was a multi-year collaboration across several universities. Amy McGovern worked on it. She says the research had widespread application.
I could talk about the aviation impacts. I could talk about the hurricanes. I could talk about the severe weather. I mean, everything, the winter weather, all of those areas we've been working on, and every single one of those areas impacts business across the United States and the world every hour. So yes, we had a tremendous impact.
The Trump administration said in an email statement that the reason for terminating this project is that it promoted, quote, climate change hysteria. Katie Riddle, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
The British royal family is under intense scrutiny as Virginia Giuffre's memoir hits bookstores. She accused late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein of forcing her to have sex with Prince Andrew when she was a teen. Her book, Nobody's Girl, doesn't reveal new details but reignites accusations against Andrew. He recently announced he'll stop using his royal titles, including Duke of York, but denies the accusation. An appeals court has overturned the conviction of Colombia's ex-president Alvaro Uribe for bribery and witness tampering. Uribe has denied any wrongdoing. He was sentenced to 12 years of house arrest for allegedly attempting to influence witnesses who accused him of having ties to a paramilitary group. Americans are expected to spend a record $13 billion on Halloween this year. From Northwest Public Broadcasting, Lauren Patterson tells us where some of that cash is going.
A survey by the National Retail Federation finds 73% of the participants plan to celebrate Halloween this year. That's up from about half in 2005.
Over the past 20 years, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of people who are celebrating Halloween.
That's Jay Zagorski, an economics professor at Boston University who researches holidays. The data also show people are spending billions on costumes this year, and more people are dressing up their pets. Zagorski says that's due to social media.
One or two influencers start dressing up their pets, and then everyone's like, oh, I need to dress up my pet too.
People are predicted to spend nearly $1 billion on pet costumes this year. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Patterson in Pullman, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
Thank you. Saxophonist Jerome Richardson on KPR, he wrote that one, The Groove Merchant, notably performed by the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra back in the day. This is from an album he did called Jazz Station Runaway, with David Hazeltine piano, George Mraz bass, Lewis Nash drums, and Howard Alden on guitar. And this one coming out back in 97. Before that, Art Farmer, a piece by the Memphis pianist Junior Mance called Jubilation. And from the album Modern Art, 1958, Art with Benny Golson on tenor sax, Bill Evans at the piano, Addison Farmer on bass, and Dave Bailey on drums. I'm Bob McWilliams. We went with a twofer to open tonight's Jazz in the Night. And we've got the new one from singer Ledisi. And she is best known as a star in the world of R&B and pop and soul, but she's always had jazz influences and jazz in her mind and soul. And she has a new album out dedicated to Dinah Washington. We'll hear from that next. Also on the way, new music, a new pianist in my ears, Margarita Fava. And we've got a terrific young pianist, Kaylin Cardello, lined up as well.
To make the winter go, and it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
Well, it takes two hearts of cooking to make a fire grow.